The Fight Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by BetSGPN. BetSGPN is where you'll find all the best sportsbook promotions and deposit bonuses. Just head over to BetSGPN.com. BetSGPN, it's your home for online sports betting. We're also brought to you by BetQL. BetQL is your home for the info you need to make yourself a smarter better. NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, they've got you covered. Just go to BetQL.com and use the promo code SGP30. That's BetQL.com and the promo code SGP30 for 30% off. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is the home for avid sports bettors, providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks. Better Than Vegas, it's like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure to subscribe to our page so you don't miss a pick. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And finally, we're also brought to you by Better Edge. Better Edge is your home for no VIG betting. That's right, no VIG betting. That's legal in 40 states. Sign up at betteredge.com and use the promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BETTOREdge.com and the promo code SGP.
On March 6th, the UFC returns with a stacked card. It will feature four champions.
The MMA leader has brought some serious star power.
We've got the goods.
And a pair of title challengers who represent nations from all corners of the planet.
They're the best to do what they do.
African-born and New Zealand-made, middleweight king Israel Adesanya moves up to 205 pounds for a headlining super fight with Polish champion Jan Blachowicz.
Israel Adesanya, man, he wants the challenges that other people may have tried to avoid. Whoever he's facing, he seems to just have an answer.
This is just going to prove to people that muscles don't win fights. He is a great fighter, but I know what true greatness is.
100% effort, nothing less.
You on the next level, homie, climb up. We ain't gonna stop till I'm done. Too late, homie, time's up.
In the world right now, and nothing can stop him.
This is his division. He's been fighting all these guys at 205 his entire career.
When he lands, he can shut your lights out.
Believe in the legendary Polish power.
What you gonna do?
Event, Brazil's first female UFC champion, Amanda Nunes.
Brasil, vocês têm o que encontrar. Eu sou a verdadeira campeã aqui.
Owner of both bantamweight and featherweight belts.
If anyone has shown time and time again that they can step up to any challenge, it is Amanda Nunes, the greatest female fighter of all time.
Puts her 145-pound title on the line.
We need someone to challenge this woman. Otherwise, you're just going to see these assassinations.
Against Australian challenger, Megan Anderson.
She's in tough night at the office. Amanda Nunes is looking to defend her title sometime soon.
Let's go!
Plus, Russian champion Pyotr Yan.
Pyotr Yan, one of the hardest hitting bantamweights that we've ever seen in here.
And that'll do it! Pyotr Yan is an undisputed world champion at 27!
Defends his 135-pound title against an American with proud Jamaican roots.
We knew a contender was going to rise. This guy's been right there the whole time.
Aljamain Sterling.
Just that. Oh, my goodness. Aljamain
Sterling. Aljamain Sterling. You can't keep a star from
shining. Span the globe for an inside look. It's the best in the world prepared for glory.
You are listening to The Fight Show here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on Twitter at The SGP Network. That's at The SGP Network. You can follow me on Twitter at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. Also, check out my website, lockbetting.com. We have just delivered our 93rd consecutive month of tracked transparent profit. We made £2,800 in the month of February for our clients. That's over £3,000. $1,500. As I said, it is our 93rd month in a row. It was bolstered by winning nearly every single night in the NBA. We had a night where we went 15-1 on the 21st of February with picks and props. We went 6-3 with our Australian Open futures, including picking both the winners of the tournaments, Osaka and Djokovic. We went 12-2 across the tournament, across the 14 days, 12 winning days, 2 losing days. We have 26 winning days out of the last 30 days in tennis. That's 26-4 across the last 30 days. We have been winning for the last 2 weeks in soccer. We have been consistent with that. We had a 6-1 weekend and a 5-2 week with our soccer action, which is what I specialize in. And as I said, we are winning in the NBA. We are winning in tennis. We are 73% on hockey. MLB is coming back shortly. We are dominating in boxing as well. Even though we have had a 4-4 split with our last 8 boxing picks, we had a 15-3 run going into that. It is an unstoppable sight. We have 93 months of transparent track profit. We are heading for our 94th, winning in nearly every single sport. So jump on board here at the start of the month, because I use Patreon. And if you decide to jump on board in the middle of the month, they will charge you for the entire month. So why not get this whole month of action, a ton of sporting action to bet on? And why doesn't it just begin with this UFC card this weekend, as UFC 259 comes to us this Saturday night, and Israel Adesanya looks to become the champ in the main event. But we're going to reverse the action here on this episode of The Fight Show. We are going to go back to front. We are going to cover the three main fights, but we are going to reverse the order here. We are going to start with Aljamain Sterling versus Peter Yan, where Peter Yan is the narrow favorite in some places here at 5-6, with Aljamain Sterling available at even. Some places do have this at 10-11, -110, -110 pick'em. Peter Yan is available at 3-1 to win this fight a knockout. He's also 3-1 to win this fight a decision, 9-1 submission. Aljamain Sterling is available at 6-1 via TKO KO, 7-2 via via submission, which is obviously a clearer route for victory for him than Peter Yan, and 7-2 via a decision. Very, very tough fight to call here, obviously. The odds make that pretty clear. I think this is going to be a clash of styles here. Aljamain Sterling will be looking to get this down to the ground, whereas Peter Yan's going to focus primarily on his striking. And often when you're looking at these striker versus grappler matchups, you do lean towards a striker, because Sterling's going to have to come in and close the distance and get hold of his opponent and show this dominance. Whereas Yan can stay on the outside, he can land his strikes, keep the distance, and he can win the rounds there. I find it very difficult to pick against Aljamain Sterling. But then again, Peter Yan has lost one fight his entire career. So off the bat, this is a very, very difficult fight to pick. I do think that it's going to be going the distance. I don't think that Yan is going to land that knockout shot here. But at the same time, I don't know if Aljamain Sterling is going to be able to take him down to the ground and land any kind of submission. So I do see this one going down to the scorecards. And then it's simply going to be a case of whether Aljamain Sterling has done enough here with his grappling, or whether Peter Yan has done enough with his striking. And Yan has developed into one of the most potent counter wrestlers in the sport anyway. And if this is going to be largely down to a striking battle and he's able to see off Sterling's wrestling, then I think that Yan has to be the pick if I'm forced to make one. When Sterling first entered UFC, it's not exaggeration, I don't think, to say that he could barely throw a proper punch. Now he's just so good on his feet that he dominated Jimmy Rivera, Pedro Munhoz, without them landing a takedown on, without even having to land a takedown on either of them. So I think that when we're looking at these striker versus grappler matchups, we kind of stereotype people we want to put people into boxes and say one guy is this and one guy is that. Well, no, that's not completely and entirely the case. Obviously, Yan is a superior striker to everybody that I've mentioned. And I think that could be a factor here in this one. But I'm not really willing to put my money where my mouth is in terms of a pick definitively here. I think I would give that lean to say that strikers tend to win these matchups between strikers and grapplers. But if I'm asked to put out a bet on this, I would go for the fight to go the distance, yes. And you're getting that plus money here. You're getting that at 13 to 10. You could take less of a risk here and just take this fight to go over 3.5 rounds, which means it needs to get halfway into the fourth round. So 3 rounds need to be completed plus half of the fourth round. That cuts out 7.5 minutes here that you need to navigate. And that's the 10 to 11, 10 to 11, minus 110, minus 110. Pick'em line. So over 3.5 rounds, I think would be the way to play this fight, as I do think it would be a little bit cagey, and I do think both men will stick to what they're best at. But as I said, Yan can hold his own in the grappling department, and Sterling has shown in previous victories that he doesn't necessarily have to get opponents down to win, which is what makes this such a compelling, interesting fight, which makes it so hard to pick anybody to win. And the bookies can't even pick, because this is widely available at minus 110, minus 110 anyway. So I'm just going to go for the over 3.5 here, which is also available at minus 110, as I do think this one does end up going to the distance. And if you want to take the distance as well, there is massive value there at plus 130, 13 to 10 in this one. Moving on to the co-main event. And for me, this is a case of trying to work out how Amanda Nunes beats Megan Anderson in this fight. Amanda Nunes is the 1-10 favorite here. It's 13-2 on the draw. Nunes is even money to win via TKO KO, and 2-1 via submission. I think there's value there. 9-2 via decision, whereas Megan Anderson is 10-1 to win this via TKO KO, 28-1 via submission, and 12-1 via decision. The only hope that Megan Anderson has to win this fight if Amanda Nunes looks past her, and I haven't seen Amanda Nunes look past anybody yet. If we're looking at the total round distances here, the over-under for this is just 1.5 rounds. Now, Megan Anderson just has to hang around for 1.5 rounds here for you to cash this. And she can hold her own on her feet, which is why I said it's interesting that you're getting Nunes at such a big fight at 2-1 to win this via submission. Because if it comes down to the ground game, that's where Nunes has a even bigger advantage than she has on her feet. Now, Nunes is better everywhere when we're coming to analyze this fight. It's very, very difficult to find opponents for her. It's only going to be a case of Nunes looking past somebody or a new up-and-comer coming through. At the moment, I cannot see who that's going to be. And I'm not seeing any kind of Holly Holm upset here when she beat Ronda Rousey. And I'm not saying that Anderson isn't skilled or that she isn't capable of stopping Nunes under perfect circumstances, but it would need perfect circumstances. She does legitimately pose a real knockout threat. The thing is that Nunes appears to be technically superior on her feet and can take the fight to the ground anytime she likes. Holly Holm, of all people, managed to wrestle Anderson into the dirt. And that, I think, will be a big issue here in terms of me giving Anderson any kind of chance here. Where in 2016, Anderson could have potentially used the Kat Zingano strategy of letting Nunes burn herself out on the ground and then turning the tables late, but it's not the case for the Aussie here. Nunes has proved that she could pace herself now through a 5-round fight. She's done it against Durandamé. Plus, Anderson would still have to survive Nunes' ground and pound onslaught in the first place, which is her incompetence. Competent area in MMA. So Nunes essentially has a pick in terms of how this goes. She wins a striking matchup. She can grind out an easy decision. She could go on top with a ground and pound finish. She could get a submission. I think ultimately the easy pick here is to take Nunes to find a way to finish her in rounds 1-5, but you're getting no value there at all because you have to take that at 1-3. So you'd be looking at Nunes getting the finish inside rounds 1-5 and parlaying it with something else. So perhaps take a lower rounds total in the previous fight that we looked at between Sterling and Yan, or look elsewhere on this card. If you want all of my picks here for this card, then obviously you need to subscribe to a package over at lockbetting.com. But for this one, I would say that Anderson does manage to get out of the first round and can hopefully navigate the first 2.5 minutes of the second round here. So I'm looking at this one to go over 1.5 rounds, but inevitably I think Nunes catches up with her. I think there's just a little bit more value on taking the submission because Nunes has such a huge advantage over Anderson on the ground. There's no danger to Nunes whatsoever on the feet. Anderson, as I said, can find that knockout punch. Look, this is MMA. We're talking about combat sports. We're talking about boxing and UFC, MMA. We are talking about the potential of anybody on any given day finding a lucky punch and knocking somebody out. That is a possibility. So there is no possibility for Anderson to win this fight on the ground. And if Nunes takes it there, she can ground out a ground and pound victory, which also falls into the KO TKO category, or she can get you that big submission at 2-1 plus 200. But I think adding the Nunes at rounds 1-5 to some kind of parlay would be a safe way to go. But if you're looking for an individual play here for this fight that has some value, I think over 1.5 rounds would be the way to go. Closing out with the main event of the show.
From my first fight, I realized I could be the best in the world at this.
Here is Israel Adesanya as he hits the big show here in Perth. Oh, huge right hand from Adesanya.
That's the punching bag right now.
I'm the new dog in the yard.
He's just on such another level when it comes to striking. He makes reads that other fighters don't. He's so accurate. He's so precise. His timing is so good.
Oh, big elbow on the spin. Look out, middleweight division.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Bring that chin on the platter, and I'll clean it off as well.
For me, it's about the victories. The names you collect, the scalps you take along the way. I just keep doing what I'm doing and my legacy will be cemented in time.
I'm going for everybody. Everybody can get it.
No, he hurt him. He stunned him.
Final 12 seconds. Here. Goes down.
I'm a bona fide star. I know I've got the it factor.
We know he's a superstar. I think the world's waking up to that fact now as well.
He has taken this sport by storm. He moves every needle, celebrity and otherwise, that you would want him to move.
Oh!
Adesanya trying to close it out! Oh. Israel Adesanya! Less than 2 years into his UFC career, Israel Adesanya is what he knew and thought he was, the best middleweight on planet Earth.
I was in the nosebleeds, and now I made his nosebleed.
Even as a champion, he wants the challenges that other people try to avoid.
This guy right here is a guy that no one ever calls out. I want to test myself against everyone of this era who's a beast. And he's a beast, so I'm going to test him.
I was hoping to touch him a little more, but unfortunately, it's hard to engage with someone who doesn't want to dance. I did what I had to do in a fight. I touched him up, and still.
Next up for you is Paulo Costa.
Oh, I'm going to leave it like Costa. I'll see you soon, boy.
All the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Rambo movies. Oh, God. People get hypnotized by that, and they think that's what wins fights. He's jacked. He must be tough.
And again, Adesanya putting in good work on that lead leg of Costa.
Paulo Costa, he's getting picked apart here in this fight.
Get to where you want to get to, and then you realize, cool, now what?
And so now the question is, who's next?
How is anybody able to fight with Izzy right now?
That kid is looking to be the best to ever do it. He's got a pretty cool plan.
You're going to be moving up to fight Jan Blachowicz in your next fight for the light heavyweight belt.
Yeah, I'm moving up to 205. Then I'm going to snatch that 205 strap.
UFC 259, Izzy moves up 20 pounds to try to become a simultaneous two-division champion.
Jan Blachowicz, this is a man that possesses power like nothing Izzy has ever felt before. This is not an easy ask for Israel Adesanya.
Jan's an absolute monster. Like, this is what we do. Like, we slay monsters.
That's the real rush for me. It's taking out these train killers that people think I can't beat. Every guy fights the next guy to beat me. I'm like, all right, let me show you.
Just another fight with another tough dude. It's like proof what I've been saying this whole time. I'm the best in the world.
Yeah, there we go. That is your main event of this card. Israel Adesanya versus Jan Błachowicz. And he said something interesting in there. He said that he keeps taking out these guys that nobody thinks he can beat. Well, I think everybody here is picking Israel Adesanya in this fight. However, the sharps aren't, because this line has moved. Israel Adesanya was close to a 1-3 minus 300 favorite at one point this week. He's now closing in at 1-2. I'm seeing him here at 1-2. And Jan Błachowicz is available at the best price of 15-8. But you can get him here as low as 6-4. So people are beginning to put some money down here on Błachowicz. They do think that the odds are maybe too big here and maybe too wide for Israel Adesanya. And 100% of Błachowicz's UFC finishes have occurred in the first or second round. So this will be dangerous territory for Israel Adesanya to get past. Even though he is 20-0, he's moving up 20 pounds here. Israel Adesanya has had four UFC wins himself by TKO KO, and three of these were in the second round. For Israel Adesanya here to finish this in the second round via TKO KO, in fact, you can get a special bet here on rounds two or three. You can get that here at 6-1. So there is some big specials around. You always get that here with UFC main events. If we look at the basics though and start there where we have done with the other fights, Błachowicz is available here at 7-2 via TKO KO. It's 9-1 via submission and 15-2 via decision. Israel Adesanya's shortest price here to and shortest route to victory is the TKO KO at 5-4. It's 18-1 via submission, and he's as short as 5-2 via decision here to fight the entire five rounds. That may be the smartest strategy here for Israel to get in and out and possibly to take out a leg or a body part like he did with Paulo Costa, but that was an absolute destruction. Israel Adesanya was hitting him at will, and Paulo Costa wasn't throwing anything back. The guy was there as a bloated punching bag. That was very, very surprising, because I thought Paulo Costa was a real, real threat to Israel Adesanya, and that was a bigger man that he took out, but that was a bigger man at the same weight class. And moving up 20 pounds here, we just don't know what kind of Israel Adesanya we've seen. But I'm not going to doubt the guy, because any time we've seen him come up against a bigger opponent, and it is deceiving to see this skinny guy, and now we see this skinny guy moving up to 205. But how can you dispute this point, that the technique of Israel Adesanya, while Błachowicz continues to improve his profile as a striker, he has largely remained the same. He comes in with his power kicks and his straight linear punches. That's not probably going to cut it against a kickboxer who fights like Israel Adesanya. He punishes under polished aggression. And he does it decisively, more decisively than anyone in the sport. If Błachowicz commits to a striking battle, his size advantage isn't going to save him from getting picked apart here over a longer period of time. So I don't think this is going to be a one or two round KO, which does start to offer value in the rounds market. Again, I know I've gone there twice so far on this podcast, but just for these three fights, it does offer you some value. Because I do think the bookies have priced these over-unders for these total rounds slightly wrong. This one only has to get over 1.5 rounds here to cash at 4-6. So the over under here, under 1.5 rounds, is at 11-10, and over 1.5 rounds here is available at 4-6. The over under split, the 50-50 10-11 split here, -110, -110, is at the over 2.5 round mark. So the over under 2.5 round mark. So if this does get to the championship rounds, or just 2.5 minutes short of the championship rounds, you can cash here on the over. The fight is available at 2-1 to go the distance, and the bookies are basically assuming here that if it does go the distance, that Israel Adesanya is the 100% winner, and he's coming here with a strategy to keep his distance and to pick Błachowicz apart here for 25 minutes, because it's 2-1 to go the distance, and it's only 5-2 for Israel Adesanya to win it on the distance. So I would be taking this to go the distance rather than betting Israel Adesanya to go the distance, because Błachowicz could potentially, it's unlikely, but he could potentially do some damage in those rounds and do enough damage with knockdowns, etc., to win a couple of these rounds. I don't think he's going to be the more active fighter or anything, and I'm surprised really not to see his decision price at bigger than 15-2 if Israel Adesanya is 5-2 via decision, and the decision itself is simply available at 2-1. But I do like that over 1.5, much like I did for the Nunes fight. I don't see any kind of early 1 or 2 round knockout here for Israel Adesanya. So I think taking the over 1.5 will be the safest way to bet this fight. I may put out a different play here nearer fight time. I'm going to put out parlays and picks, and I'm going to look at the rest of the fights on the main card. I'm going to look at the prelims. I already have significant leans that I'm going to play. But if you want to get all of my official picks, then you need to get them over at lockbetting.com. I'm going to be completely transparent and let you know I am looking for a bounce back here in the UFC. I had had a couple of rough UFC cards. It is probably my weakest sport so far this year. UFC in 2021 has been weird, but I've won every single year in the UFC since I started lockbetting.com dating back to 2014. So inevitably, at the end of 2021, I am going to come out on top in this sport, and we are going to look for a recovery. We're not just going to dump UFC. And obviously, if you guys have listened to the fight show for enough years, you know what the lot record is here on this show. And we will be looking to make money here on this card. So as I said, sign up over at lockbetting.com. There is no better time to sign up than the start of the month, and you'll get every single sport that we play. That's it for me and this edition of the fight show, this UFC 259 preview. Good luck with all your bets as always, and thanks for listening.